two, well, I guess almost, I guess 3 months ago, when everybody sort of getting the started getting the shelter in space orders, they started looking at their space, and a lot of people said, you know, I don't want to be in this dinky apartment for whatever it's going to be, a month, 2 months, 6 months, and a lot of people said, well, I don't want to be stuck in this city that is crawling with infected people. I want to get out someplace where I can get some air. You would think that this would really play into the wheelhouse of a Dallas-based company called Invitation Homes. They've got something like 80,000 homes. They lease them. They're spread out over all over the United States of America. Dallas Tanner is the president, the CEO of Invitation Homes, and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Hey, thanks, David. Pleasure to be on.
So what this is, I mean, you don't like to talk about anybody being able to capitalize on this, I guess. But, I mean, this must have driven some business your way, people who want to, you know, wanted to get away and wanted to lease a house.
Well, you naturally would think that maybe there's a little bit of a shift in toward having a little bit more space. And a lot of folks need to work from home at this point. So that's created another set of challenges for people. And so, you know, our business, truthfully, has been very healthy and very well occupied for almost 8 years. So, you know, it's hard to quantify if we're seeing a real surge in demand, but I would say that demand going into the spring and summer months, which is typically the time of year when folks are making decisions on where they want to live, has been as strong or if not maybe even a little bit better on a year-over-year basis.
I mean, you guys are separate, distinct from like an Airbnb or whatever, because you're not renting for weeks or a month. What's your minimum lease?
Minimum lease is 12 months. You're exactly right.
So you got to have a commitment. It can't just be a trial run, I guess.
Oh, sure. No. You got to go through an application process and make sure that you qualify just like you would with anything else. But, our average resident now stays with us almost 3 years. So it's a very sticky customer profile.
What about people paying their bills? I mean, we've heard stories in some cases apartments are getting, 60%. I've talked to mall owners who said maybe they're getting 25% of their people paying them. How about you as a landlord?
Well, we've been really fortunate. I mean, we've had between 95 and 96% of our normal collections over what we'd call the normalized period. And then very early in the process with the pandemic, we set up a system for our residents to be able to let us know if they were needed help with any forbearance issues. And, this isn't our first rodeo, David. We've done this with hurricanes in Texas and Florida that have impacted our residents and created dislocation. And so we have processes in place to help folks. And we take that responsibility seriously as a company. And we've been able to, step up and help some people where we've needed to help bridge some gaps and create some payment plans. And we'll continue to work with families. It's the right thing to do. And our resident base has been pretty loyal, and we want to be loyal to them.
Like I said, you operate all over the United States, I think, 16, 18 different markets. Are you seeing, more trouble in collections or more people with, chronic unemployment in one area versus the other? Another area is doing better than others?
No, we get that question a lot. And surprisingly, we haven't seen, any real noise in that regard. I mean, people have asked about Las Vegas, just given that the casinos shut down and so many employees were furloughed. That market for us is north of 97% occupancy and has been, acting and behaving like it always has. So I think, there's a level of stimulus in the market today that is probably helping, bridge some gaps for some people. But, the unemployment numbers are alarming. But then you got to remember that on the flip side of that, if one in seven people have lost their job, there's six of seven that are still working. And so, striking that balance and making sure that we're, figuring out how to help the one in seven, make ends meet. But we haven't seen, anything that suggests that one part of a market's being, troubled more so than another. It's been fairly kind of well spread.
Well, and I guess it's also in your best interest to sort of work with them if you need to. At least I know the Texas laws for kicking somebody out of their house can be pretty tough.
Well, one, it's the right thing to do. And two, you're right. I mean, a lot of the governors, have come out and put eviction moratoriums in place and making sure that you can, people can weather the pandemic to some degree. It can put pressure on landlords because, we're a big company and we'll be able to weather those kind of storms more so than the small mom and pop landlord. And I think that's kind of the big thing, the big takeaway is was we've been talking with different government leaders and you know, senators and congressmen and women. We said, look, there's a small amount of forbearance that landlords generally could handle because they've got obligations between property taxes, mortgage payments, things like that. So you got to strike the right balance. And I think, you know, we've been lucky. The majority of our residents have been pretty easy to work with, and they get that we're going to do everything we can to help anyone through, you know, kind of this difficult time. But if you put too much of the onus on landlords, it'll certainly create a cascading effect of problems.
You know, I would guess that you're in a pretty good position to know your clients well. I mean, obviously you vet them before they get in there. But you have people, maintenance people, that are going by there on an ongoing basis. They don't have to pay for, you know, new water heaters or air conditioning systems that break down. So you get a chance to kind of see what's going on around the house, I would guess.
Yeah, that's included in our lease in terms of us being responsible for the wear and tear on a home, the natural wear and tear. That's been the trickiest part with our business. And, we basically went to critical work orders only in the beginning of the pandemic, and making sure that, A, that the residents were safe, B, that our associates were safe, and C, that if anything critical or emergency in nature needed to be handled, that we could get access to the property and do so. The non-critical stuff we've pushed off to some degree into the back part of the year, and so we'll catch up on some of that stuff as the year plays itself out. But you know, the most important thing was just making sure that our residents and our associates are safe, that we've been able to look after the homes on anything that's critical. And so that's created an added kind of complicated kind of thought pattern and process to it. But we've managed it pretty well, and I couldn't be more proud of the way our teams have kind of adapted to the environment. It's been tricky.
You know, I was saying earlier, I think you've got about 80,000 homes right now, but I think it's double the amount that you had probably just 4 years ago or so. So you're still growing. Does this give you any opportunity? Are you seeing homes come on the market that otherwise you might not have? We've heard of, you know, some softness in some of the housing markets around.
You know, it's a great question. We're just not seeing it. I mean, mortgage applications are up. Interest rates are at historic lows. I think people that were trying to sell homes have naturally paused or temporarily taken homes off the market in April and May. So you've actually seen, in most of our markets, which are kind of Sunbelt coastal markets, we've seen less supply. And so pricing's held up relatively well on an asset level perspective. It'll be interesting to see how this works, you know, over time. There's been mortgage forbearance that's been introduced into the marketplace. So you got 3 or 4 months of, you know, anyone that's in a jam isn't paying their mortgage. And in residential, real distress takes time to work itself out in the marketplace. This stuff typically takes 1 to 2 years to start to show its face. And so, you know, right now the market feels really healthy. Well, people are refinancing, people are buying, and we haven't seen a ton of it just yet.
And for leaseholders like you have, I would guess that maybe you haven't been seen yet, because there's like government stimulus money that's going out to a lot of people that allows them to pay their bills and stay current.
That could be impacting it in the near term, to your point. And I just think, taking a step back, we have to be honest about the supply and demand imbalance in our country as a whole. We just do not have enough supply to keep up with the normal household formation that's occurring. And so I expect that pressure to stay there for a little while. I wouldn't expect that we're going to have an abundance of supply. We certainly don't have the issues we had in 2008, right, where we were overbuilt.
And it's certainly been a problem in North Texas. And some tell us that this is going to stimulate in-migration, that, you know, some of the high-tax states are going to be even higher taxing, and it's going to drive more people to Texas and probably to your homes, too.
No doubt. Texas is a good market for net migration. It's got all the right fundamentals. It's business-friendly. It's low on taxes. It's a really good place for people to raise a family.
Dallas Tanner is the president and CEO of Invitation Homes, and it's always good to chat with you. Thank you for the time.
Absolutely. Thanks, David.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
For more of our conversation with Mr. Tanner, go to KRLD.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.